3. We won't be long tonight. I know Wednesday nights we want to spend some time in prayer, but we've been gleaning through 2 Timothy and hope and pray that the Lord has encouraged and challenged us at the same time. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Our Father, we do pray that You'd bless us tonight with Thy presence. We pray the Spirit of God would again be our teacher and our guide. I pray that You'd open up our hearts. Help us to receive that tonight which we have great need of. We thank You for those that's come out. We pray that for those who could not be here tonight for illness or work, we pray that God You'd watch over them and keep them. We pray a special prayer as well for Brother Jody and the Bible study there in Brownwood. May You bless them tonight as they gather around Thy Word. For Brother Charles, as he brings the Word in community tonight, we pray that You'd bless him as he preaches through the Gospel of John. We pray that God, Lord, Your Word would be proclaimed tonight in all these places and that You would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. We have great need of Thee tonight, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, in spite of all these persecutions and evil men and seducers. Timothy, you need to endure if you're going to be a successful minister of the gospel. You know, with the combination of persecution for godliness and the waxing worse and worse of evil men and seducers, there exists the danger of God's people compromising or mitigating the truth of God. And that's Paul's emphasis here when he says, but continue thou in these things. Timothy, these things shall be great. You shall suffer persecution. There shall be these evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse and deceiving and being deceived. But don't allow that to cause you to mitigate or cause you to compromise what you've learned. Continue in that, regardless of what is going on around you. And I think we'll all agree that the church over the last 20, 30 years, maybe farther than that, we've seen a great compromise of the truths of God. We've seen a mitigating of the truths of God because of persecution or because of the evilness which is around us. We see in this great movement they have, which is called, the church movement? Emergent church. They're trying to throw away doctrine and just have churches emerge. It's a big movement, even amongst some who proclaim the doctrines of grace. Let's downplay doctrine and let's just join hands and let's find some common ground and we'll go ahead and worship God. That's what God wants. And it's a huge movement today because the church has been frustrated because of the lack of attendance and all this other stuff. Well, we see that exhortation here in 2 Timothy where Paul tells Timothy, in spite of all that, persevere. Don't compromise. Don't mitigate the things that you've heard. Especially for those men who've been divinely appointed to preach and uphold such truths publicly. We know the danger exists amongst all Christians, but this is a pastoral epistle. He's telling Timothy as a minister, Timothy, don't allow that to hinder you in preaching the whole counsel of God. Don't be intimidated by all these persecutions and by these evil men and seducers, but preach the Word of God. Continue thou in the things that you've heard. He follows this thought out, and we won't get there tonight, but he follows this thought out in chapter 4, verse 1. Look at this. I charge thee therefore, because of what he just said in chapter 3. I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing His kingdom, the charge is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the Word. What Word? The one he just finished speaking about in chapter 3. The one he said you need to continue in. Preach that Word. Be instant in season, out of season. That means It doesn't mean winters and summers. It means whether it's hardly received or not, preach it regardless. Be continuing in these things. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So you see, Paul continues that thought out. He begins it in chapter 3, verse 14. In the light or in the shadow of all these things he just said before, beginning in chapter 3, that these perilous times that shall come upon the church, he says, it doesn't matter, Timothy, if these perilous times are there. You need to be persevering in the things that you've heard. Not just in your life, like we looked at last week, not just in your conduct, the way you carry yourself as a believer, as a preacher, but he goes on, and we'll see that later on, that thought flows through chapter 4, but especially as a minister of the Word of God, don't mitigate and compromise the truths of God. Continue preaching the Word, because the charge you have is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he puts an emphasis on that. This very solemn and divine exhortation follows the perils here in chapter 4 and dangers declared in chapter 3. Yet great perseverance in the things he had learned and been assured of, and that's the doctrines that God has taught him and he's learned from Paul, the Scriptures, must be exerted, and that boldly preaching the Word in or out of season is what he says in chapter 4. But you know, beloved, it's not so much the threatenings or persecutions from outside the church which endangers believers, especially ministers, which endangers them or exposes the preacher to compromise or mitigates the truths of God, but those from within her own ranks. The danger having two different faces to that. You see, the world, when the world looks at us and mocks at us as believers, we say, well, you're lost. We don't care about what your opinion is when it comes to the truth of God. We care about you as souls, but we stand on the truth of God. And so we've got a blockade there. We've got some kind of a fortress up because we know they're lost and they don't understand the things of God. But when they begin to infiltrate inside the church, when the threatenings in chapter 3 is all about things going on in the church in the last days, that's when we fall under danger of compromising the truths. We'd like to see more people come. We'd like to see the pews filled. We'd like to be more friendly and not so bold with the truths because we want to make ourselves look appeasing or pleasing to people. So we begin to compromise and mitigate. That's the whole emergent church thing. Let's make it pleasant to those who come into the church. Let's make it pleasant to those so that we don't have to, they won't run off when they come into the church. That's what Paul's saying. Timothy, don't do that. Don't allow that to happen. And we have to be careful as that as Christians and especially as a pastor, but there's a twofold thing to that. First, we have to be careful about having an unjust indignation against those in the church, you know, like that of Moses against Israel. You know, all Pharaoh's threatenings and evil aggressions couldn't bring the meekest above all men to fall. That was his testimony from God, meekest of all men. But when God's people began murmuring, Moses rose up in anger and smote the rock twice. Moses did an unjust thing. It was an injustice to have such indignation towards God's people. And God said, that's not the kind of minister you need to be. So, Timothy, you have to be careful that you have that divine balance and that you're cautious about how you preach the Word of God. I think that's why we have it combined in chapter 4 where he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. All long-suffering. So there's things that a minister has to watch out for. There's things Christians have to watch out for as well. But specifically those who preach God's Word publicly. Be cautious, be aware of an unjust indignation. And the second one, which is just as dangerous and in many ways more so, is a sinful intolerance against or with the perils within the church. You remember Eli? Eli's son made themselves vile, yet the Bible says Eli restrained them not. So there has to be a divine balance there. And this is what I love about Scripture, especially about 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul is teaching Timothy not only how to preach, but how to conduct yourself as a pastor. He's reminding him, this is not your people. They're the flock Christ purchased with His own blood. And therefore, though God has given you this divine gift to preach, You have to be cautious and careful that you do it in a manner which is glorifying to God and edifying to the church while you're maintaining that divine balance of being able to preach the Word of God with long-suffering, with meekness, with... And believe me, that sometimes is a struggle for a preacher. That is sometimes a struggle. How often preachers are guilty, and the one standing before you is not innocent of it, of taking personal things into the pulpit, and that can be very dangerous for the church. We have to be careful about that. We're all human. That's not an excuse, but we're all human. And that's why I believe Paul here exhorts Timothy in verse 14 of chapter 3 before he gets to chapter 4. Continue down the things which thou hast learned. And then he talks about verse 17, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He concentrates on his character, his conduct, before it comes down to preaching. You make sure your character's right. You make sure your heart's right. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and it's amazing how we live in a generation where Christians jest about things they ought not to be jesting about. He said he talked to a preacher, and the preacher said something about, well, I guess I'm going to go to hell because I'm reading a certain preacher's book that isn't of the same belief I am. And I told him, I said, that's not jesting. To me, that's not right, especially as preachers. We can't be jesting about things like that. And we find ourselves doing that all the time. And that same jesting, oftentimes, unfortunately, beloved, falls over or flows from the pulpit. A preacher can't get personal. And that's a very hard thing to do, especially if you're in public light. That's why it's necessary for God's people to keep him in prayer. God, give him the grace and the humility and the meekness and help him that he'll be able to preach in a manner and a fashion, which is, first of all, glorifying to you, but edifying to the church, and one that uplifts the truth of God. And so Paul, I believe, in light of all of what he said in the beginning of chapter 3, he ends this chapter, chapter 3, 14 to 17, dealing with Paul's character and how Scripture is to instruct him how to conduct himself as a preacher. And then he goes, I charge thee therefore. Because of all that, I want you to understand the kind of minister you need to be. The Word of God is the only thing that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Not your opinions. Not your convictions. The Word of God is the only thing. You see what I mean? I like how the Holy Spirit used Paul to deal with Timothy's character and conduct as a minister before he gives him a charge about preaching. And I like that because too often we go outside the confines of Scripture. Beloved, we can't do that. And even a preacher's tempted to do that and often falls into that error. And Paul's telling Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are what? Able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, that's not just a salvation of saving of your souls for eternity, but also sanctification. Scriptures make you wise, Timothy. And don't forget, though you might be influenced by this godly persecution, though you might be influenced by the evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, though they might tempt you, don't go outside the confinements of Scripture when you preach. No, beloved, I tell you, I covet your prayers earnestly for that. Because when times are tough, it is so difficult. Amen? I mean, we even sit down and have conversations with other believers, and when it's a tense moment, we oftentimes find ourselves saying things we ought not to say. And then later on, we regret saying them or saying it the way we did say it. Well, that same thing happens when a preacher gets in the pulpit and he's thinking, I want to help God's people. I want to be a benefit, a blessing to them. But I don't want anything personal in there. It's got to be something for us all. Well, Timothy, confine yourself to Scripture because it's the only thing that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. That every man of God, not just a minister, but every man of God can be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Beloved, this is such an essential truth here in 2 Timothy for us all. Because it's not something simply that a minister has to do. We have to do that. When you're dealing with a brother and sister that's out of sorts, maybe they're sinning, maybe they're weak, remember that. Confine yourselves to Scriptures. Because that's the only thing that reproves and instructs, that makes any Christian perfect and thoroughly good, thoroughly furnished unto good works. It's a principle we all have to apply. Scripture. So often we try to convince people with our own words and our own opinions. Nothing can convince somebody more than Scripture. Nothing can. And so therefore Paul is making this effort here with Timothy. If Timothy, like every true minister of God's Word, was to be effective and profitable,
against such threatenings and perils, he must continue the things which he had learned and been assured of, knowing that Scripture alone can make one wise unto salvation. And that's why he says that. Let me quickly just get down here to verse 16. Just real quickly. I don't know if we'll spend time on all of these, but just a few of these. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. You've known these Scriptures, verse 15. He's telling Timothy something he knows, but he wants him to know it even more. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. Isn't it amazing that doctrine leads this list? And I'm not going to draw this out tonight because I believe most of us have heard that. But if you have a wrong doctrine, you're going to have a wrong Christian life. Doctrine is based, or Christian life is based on what we know and believe. It's profitable for doctrine. And that's what leads this. That means God's Word is thoroughly sufficient to reveal unto me everything I need to know to faithfully serve God. It's profitable for doctrine. Scripture is sufficient. It'll teach us all we need to know. If you look over in Psalm 19, we won't go there because of time. Psalm 19, 7, 11, it talks about how God's law is perfect and just and right. It's cleansing. That's God's Word. God's Word is the only thing sufficient to tell you and I what it is or how we should serve God. Doctrine is vitally important. And that's why it's important for us to understand that when we're dealing with ourselves as well as others. It's got to be that knowledge of Scripture. It's got to be doctrine. That is profitable. Beloved, we must look no further than in God's blessed Word to sufficiently know everything God desires for us to know and how to live for Him. And by directing others to that same Scripture, we're keeping ourselves in the confines of Scripture. And a minister must do that. They must do that. You see, that was the problem in the Pharisees. I'm trying to speed this thing up. That was the problem with the Pharisees. Boy, Pharisees, they went out beside the Scriptures. And they started looking at the things of the law, the outward. And that's why the Lord said, you know what? Outward you might look white, but inside you're just a sepulcher of dead bones. That's why the Lord said, do what they tell you, but don't do after they do. We've got to stick to the confines. Scripture is sufficient. When someone is in error, when you're trying to help someone who's lost, whatever their condition might be, bring them to Scripture. Scripture is sufficient. It's more than sufficient. Let Scripture teach them. He says, and I'll just get to the second one because of time, and we'll try to finish out chapter 3 next week. But he said, profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Now, it's amazing that following doctrine is reproof. And reproof has always been, in every generation, an unfashionable and unpopular virtue. Our nature is not prone to like reproof. Yet it's a vital part of furnishing us unto all good works. You know, to reprove means to convict. It means to censure, to blame, to convince of a fault and make it manifest in order to promote repentance. That's a good dictionary term. It is to convince of a fault with Scripture, because it said all Scripture, using Scripture to convince of a fault and make it manifest in order to promote repentance. That's biblical reproof. In furnishing us unto all good works, the Word of God must often, beloved, reprove our hardened and stubborn hearts to meeken us that we might live in obedience to God and humbly submit to His will. And you'll notice in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove follows the exhortation. Much of the work of the ministry is reproving. What's he reproving? Well, he's reproving sinners who come into the church. I was just reading something from Spurgeon over there about sinners, and he's saying, I'm inviting you, but if you don't listen to the invitation, I must warn you. I must threaten you. That's reproving. So a pastor, a preacher, a minister of the Word must reprove in preaching to sinners. I'm reproving you. I want you to see your guilt. I want you to be convinced of your fault that it might lead you to repentance. But he does that with Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Scripture. I say that because I knew a pastor over in Germany one time when I first got saved. Well, actually, he wasn't in Germany. He came over to visit. And my first pastor was talking to him about a man who's been coming to church, but he's been coming for a long time and ain't saved yet. That guy stood there and said this, and I'll never forget. He stood there and said, well, I got a man in my church. Man, he's such a good talker. He'd have that boy saved in 3 minutes. Give him 3 minutes, he'd have him saved. Scripture must do the convicting. Amen. Scripture alone can do that. Scripture reproves. So a preacher must reprove the sinner. Preacher must reprove when there's sinful habits or false behavior or wrong behavior amongst Christians. That's part of it. He reproves with what? His own personal... with Scripture. He's got to be able to take Scripture and not beat him over the head with the letter of the law. I think we've all suffered under somebody like that, and I've probably been guilty of that, and I'll be the first to admit that. And believe me, it's something that you have to work on all the time. And if you're really desiring to live and serve God, believe me, every time you've done it to somebody, you went home very humbled, saying, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said it that way. You remember? I think we've all done that. Not just from the pulpit, but I remember when I was a Christian and I'd talk to believers or somebody else and I'd say something harsh and I'd go home and I'd say, you know, I didn't have to say it that way. I should have used more Scripture. I should have had more Scripture. I remember when I went downtown to with Brother Lee one time and Jehovah Witnesses were standing around and Brother Lee got up there and he started getting into a verbal conversation with this JW. I mean, it got loud. Lee, when he first got saved, he was loud. And he was getting very boisterous with this guy. Well, it was a Jehovah Witness, but Lee didn't know as enough Scripture as the JW did. So we went back to the church and we had prayer meeting that night, Saturday night. When Lee's turn came up to pray, I'm telling you, there was tears of bitter repentance for not knowing Scripture enough that he could answer this false religion. He prayed for this JW man, but he prayed more that God would give him understanding to know that that experience showed him he's got to know more Scripture. We've got to have Scripture in our hearts. It's got to be such a part of our lives that whenever we deal with somebody, we're always referring back, what does Scripture say about this? How should I conduct myself according to Scripture? And beloved, if we live in the light of that, we're going to be so more successful in our Christian walk. But it's hard sometimes. It's difficult sometimes. Persecutions are severe. Afflictions are heavy. And sometimes we do. We tend to do that. Moses, the meekest man above all men, fell into that. Struck a rock. We're all capable of that. Beloved, Scripture is important. We need to understand that such reproving from Scripture or from the minister should be taken with meekness and humility. I like David. You quoted it better than I did the other day, but when David said, when the righteous smite me, it shall what? You remember it? Yeah. But you know, David said that not simply because, well, everybody says a Christian that reproves me. No, David said that because he knew who reproved him and said, the guy's got a good heart. And he reproved me because he loves me. You see, that has a lot to do with it. That's what we're working on still between pastor and congregation. So that we can more better be able to receive Scripture because it does say profitable for reproof. And it does say that a preacher oftentimes must reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. So it's a challenge that we all have in pew and pulpit. But it's got to be in Scripture. And if it is, beloved, I'm telling you, God will bless us. He will give us such peace and joy, and we'll be able to be more effective in other people's lives. Amen? We'll be more effective in other people's lives. So may God continue to show us here, I want to get through chapter 3 next week, and I promise I'll do my best. I think I'll be able to do that. This is gleanings, but it's so essential here. How Paul's dealing, first of all, in chapter 3, 14 to 17, about Paul's Timothy's conduct, and how Timothy should conduct himself. And after he does all that, this is what Scripture's for. Scripture's sufficient for all that. Now that you know that, Timothy, now preach that same Scripture, because it's profitable to do all those things. I love that. God is so gracious. God is so wonderful. And God is so kind. And beloved, I think it's just good to know that that God does that sometimes out of His own sovereign will. I wrote in my journal, and it wasn't an original thought for me. I read it in a Puritan somewhere, but it made sense to me. I wrote in my journal this last week. I said, Lord, if there's going to be chastisement and reproof in my life, at least give me the assurance that it's coming from Your hand, because if I know that You are the one that's exercising it, I can bear it for as long as You want to give it to me. But it's just knowing that it's God who's doing it. Because when God reproves, it's because He loves us. And that should be the same spirit, the same testimony every pastor has. Every Christian, when you're reproving other believers, let us stay within the confinements of Scripture. It is sufficient. It is profitable. And God would bless us for that. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You again for Your Word. Lord, it gives us such clarity, and it, It shows us, Lord, not only the error of our ways, but Father, it shows us the way we should be going. And Father, we thank you so much for that. Father, I remember reading a sermon one time from Spurgeon that where he mentioned something about God either chasten me, love me, reveal yourself to me, but don't be silent to me. And Father, I pray that God, you'd continue working in our hearts and our lives, speaking to us. Lord, there's so many things that we need to have in our hearts and our homes and our church to be refined, to reform. Father, I pray that you'd continue working in us, Father, making us the church you'd want us to be. Grant us here at Grace Baptist Church a knowledge that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it alone is profitable for all these things, that we might be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father, grant us, we pray, understanding in this. We love you. We thank you for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.